Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Well, just turning our attention 4 minutes past one to a speech made in Rome yesterday by the Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin. He said that there is pressure on younger generations to resist becoming tied down by commitments, relationships or attachments. He also went on to say that employers are adding to this pressure, expecting young people to be flexible, movable, able to travel and to work long and unsocial hours. So we want to know, do you think this is true and is it a good or a bad idea? 53106. Well, we will be talking to psychologist with the Be Well Clinic, Alison Keating, in just a moment. But first, News Talk reporter Paul Quinn took to the streets of Dublin today to see what the people thought of this.
They have children that's in their 30s and they're still lying there. They don't want any kids. If they want them, they'll have them. They said in their own good time. Did you enjoy the holidays too much?
I don't think they get married that young anyway now.
No, they don't. Should
they
no,
get married all so much later than us, say, now, for instance. Yeah. They're all in their late 30s now getting married.
But do you think there's actually more pressure on people when they are in their 30s to get married and have kids?
Well, I suppose they're getting a bit desperate at that stage. We thought we were nearly on the shelf at 24 or 25 if you weren't married. Yes, we all got married young, you know.
I think it's just too expensive now for people to get married, where they're trying to save to get a mortgage, get on the property ladder now. You know what I mean? People don't have 20,000-30,000 now, because that's what you're talking for a wedding. You know what I mean? A decent sized wedding. As for kids, geez, they're expensive. I don't know how people do it. Like, you need two incomes nowadays coming in. So one's, if you have kids, one's not working. You know what I mean? Because you have to pay for a creche or anything like that. And the rents now are just crazy. People are quite happy living together until they get on that fee. Do you know what I mean? And then, down the road, they're more inclined to get married.
People will do what you want to do. Whether you get married, or you live together, or you have five kids, or you have two kids. Just what young kids are like today. Do you want to get married? They get married. They don't. They won't. They live together.
Yeah, they don't care. Like, that's just the way life is now, isn't it? It's all moved on. No one cares anymore. You just do what you want to do.
You mind their own business, let people get on with it, let them all live in sin if they want. No sense of going out and having jiggy-jiggy, we're not going to have to produce something at the end of it, is there?
Okay, that's the view from people on the streets of Dublin today, talking to our reporter Paul Quinn. Alison Keating, psychologist with the Be Well Clinic, is joining us in studio today. Alison, good afternoon.
How are you?
Is Eamon Martin right? Is there pressure on the younger generation to resist becoming tied down by commitments, relationships or attachments? What do you think?
I think it's a very generalist opinion, and I think in terms of understanding, as you know, some of your listeners were adding in other kind of practical things, like what's actually going on in the real world for people now in terms of financial commitments. I don't see people resisting, you know, or being in a society where they feel that, you know, it's kind of not to have children. I think a lot of people do actually want to have children. And sometimes it can be a matter of actually perhaps not finding the right partner. So maybe people have changed in that they're not willing to settle, which is a mature and possibly reasonable thing to do.
The idea that he also talked about, I suppose, people's in their professional working capacity. He went on to say that Archbishop Martin went on to say that employers are adding to the pressure, expecting young people to be flexible, movable, able to travel, to work long hours, unsocial hours. What would you, how would you respond to that?
I suppose I would take a kind of reflective step back from that, and in on its own, I would agree that it work life balance is few and far between for many people. And I think that's something that at a policy level from the government down to employers definitely needs to be looked at. What I'm seeing more and more is more burnout with people, and, you know, the demands put upon people in work is very, very high. So On its own, I would think, yes, we definitely have to have more family-friendly policies in place. And even sometimes people say that they do, but then when people come to try and get that four-day week, it's more difficult. Mm. Is that deterring people from having children? I don't necessarily think so.
I got the impression here that, though, from Archbishop Martin's point, is that it is those kind of policies, the flexible hours and the ability to work and kind of work the hours you want, that's that's the deterrent, effectively, that that's the resistance to the commitment and the relationships. That was what I took from what he said.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why I'm separating it out on its own. I do think that employers, you know, I don't know how that could be a deterrent. Do you know what I mean? In terms of people being asked to travel a lot or you know, two people working full time, childcare, you know, the housing crisis. There are lots of things in here taken on its own in a kind of a very rational way. I can see the pressures upon young people, but I still see at a fundamental human level, people want to connect. People okay. want to be in relationships. We are genuinely about, we're hardwired to connecting with other people. So to think that we've all become so individualistic and just kind of working towards our career, I think that's unfair.
Okay. You mentioned the idea of burnout just in your own professional working capacity. Is there a particular, is that happening at a younger age now?
Yes, definitely. And it's just, for me, it's very interesting. Say for the last, you know, 10 years, I've very much seen an anxiety epidemic. What it has turned into now is I think we have a bit of a burnout society. And I think we have to stand back and kind of go, what is going on here that people are trying to do it all? And in a different way, I'm seeing that people are trying to work very hard at their career. Mm. They are trying to have the family. They are trying to juggle all those different aspects of themselves. And it's the person it's damaging is perhaps that person. And then what they can give to the relationship and the family.
Yeah,
not the family. I think the people, they will put the children first. But it is very difficult if people are working very, very hard. And that's where I'm saying in terms of policies, I think we definitely, but in a very kind of rational way, that we should have a policy where we have a life-work balance that actually is reflective, where people have better quality lives, mm-hmm. whereas we have people with very high quantity lives nowadays,
okay.
I think.
I would have thought this was a kind of a societal thing, where very much in Ireland we have this idea where a lot of people feel the need, I'm not saying that they do, but they feel under pressure to try and conform to this idea of the so-called norm, as in, you know, you go to college, you get a job, mm-hmm. You meet somebody, you get married, you have kids, and if you kind of do anything outside of that, you're not necessarily going along with what society sort of perceives you should do. And I think that puts a huge burden of pressure on people that aren't necessarily following that in what's deemed to be, you know, in the timeline that the public decide is the, you know, the right time that
Absolutely.
When people should get married and have kids. And that puts a huge burden of pressure
it
on
really
people.
Does. I mean, you know, if a person's in a relationship, they're asked, when are they getting the relationship? They get in the relationship, then they ask, when are they getting married? When they get married, they ask, when are you having children?
Yeah.
I mean, that pressure is there for people. It really is. So for people, I really admire people who are fully aware, do you know what? Actually, I don't want to have a family. And I think that's a very mature thing to do.
But a lot of women, Alison, I would know who might come out and say, even to their, whether it be their friends or whether if they're in the public eye, or they might turn around and say, you know, I don't want to get married or I don't want to have children. And there would be a reaction from members of the public sometimes or from friends or family where they'll say, you'll change your mind.
I know.
You will definitely change your mind when you get a bit older. When things settle down at work now, you'll change your mind. And it's sort of because they have an idea of something that's maybe, be, you know, perceived to be outside the so-called norm.
Sure. And I mean, I suppose it is so gender specific because that wouldn't be said to a man. If a man says, actually, I don't want to have a family, they will say, you'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's nearly somewhat condescending. But as you said, it's that expected kind of, this is the way it actually goes. And if someone steps outside of that, but that is always about the issue for the person themselves, that perhaps they're uncomfortable that if they've decided to get married and have children, they didn't necessarily want to. Then they kind of, you know, it's a projection onto the other person. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's where people put their own opinions on people when really it's their own stuff. If someone is genuinely, and you know what, so what if someone changes their mind? That's their own prerogative.
Okay. Can I just maybe ask you just again, obviously working as a psychologist, just in your professional work, Alison, you probably come in contact, I imagine, with people, with probably quite a few people who have to make a decision about family, maybe mm-hmm. their work environment, maybe the relationships they're in, etc., their age, whatever. That's a decision that they do have to make. Would that be the case?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for all the advancements we have, the biological clock has not changed. So therefore, there is a very specific amount of time. And I think that sometimes people, you know, years pass by. All of a sudden, you're like, my God, where did the last 10, 15 years go? And then someone steps back and goes, actually, I want to change direction. I want to actually have a child. So I think that realization can sometimes come as quite a shock because we are in a way used to being in control, or being in charge. Something like, you know, planning to have a family if you're not in a relationship, or if you are, and there's so many complex factors in this. You may be in a relationship, and they may not want to.
Just we're going to go to another guest in just a moment. But just on that, if I could just maybe ask you, do people have less children through choice or circumstances, in that it's things like, look, we were only discussing earlier in the programme today about, you know, the housing situation, people trying to get homes, you know, childcare. There's a whole plethora of other external issues that come into this that could often, you know, somebody might decide, I'd love to have three or four kids. I actually can't afford to, so I'll probably have one or two because that's what I can afford to
keep.
Like.
And I think that's what we need to be looking at here. If we're looking at family, we have to think about, well, what is the reality for people out there nowadays? As you said, in terms of, do they have a home? These are kind of intelligent, rational, forward-thinking people thinking, I can't actually fit three or four children in here because we can't afford it. And that's very sad.
Okay.
If it's a difference between a choice and if you decide, I don't want to have this amount of children, and that's what you do, perfect. But if you actually have to do it because life is so pressurized for so many people now, it's those factors that I think we have to stand back and at a much kind of higher level, what policies are in place to actually support families.
Do you mind, Alison, just staying with us? Actually, it's Alison Keating, psychologist with the Be Well Clinic, is our guest in studio this afternoon. If you don't mind, maybe just putting on your headphones there, actually, because Dr. Margaret Davis, author of The Changing Gender Roles and Attitudes to Family Formation in Ireland, is on the line. She's also from the Department of Sociology at Trinity College Dublin. Dr. Davis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just in terms of the Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin, if anyone's just tuning in, we're discussing comments he made in Rome during a speech yesterday where he said that there's pressure on the younger generations, not gender specific, younger generations, to resist becoming tied down by commitment, relationships and attachments. Just first of all, what do you make of the Archbishop's comments?
Well, I don't really think there's pressure to not be tied down and so on. I think people have more opportunities, and I think they have wider choices than they used to because the norms have changed. It's now more acceptable to be single longer. There is more sexual freedom. There are more educational opportunities. Contraception is available. And so people have more opportunities, and maybe they want to develop themselves and get more education, focus on their career for a while, but it's not that they don't want the commitments, the relationships or the children. They do, as Alison was saying.
Because that was what I thought was kind of interesting in all of this. And I suppose maybe just from knowing my own, just my own kind of age demographic of my own circle of friends, I would have actually thought it was the opposite. I would have thought there was pressure on younger people to get married and have children.
Well, I think there's more pressure. I found in my study that there was much more pressure on women than on men. But women, I suppose, are resisting getting married and having children as early as they did before. It's no longer in their early 20s. They're taking the opportunities to get more education and to focus on their career and then, you know, find that partner and have that child before it's too late. But there's much more pressure on them in terms of their biological clock, as Alison mentioned. Men don't have that pressure. So sometimes women in their mid-30s are realizing they must do it now or they may not have that chance anymore. But the men don't have that same pressure, and then the men might not be ready then. So that creates problems.
Okay. Just on that that note you mentioned there, just with regards to the research that you've carried out yourself, I know it's into the idea of the changing dynamics of their family and of family life in Ireland. Just maybe give us an insight, Margaret, into what you found.
Well, I found loads of things. I mean, in the light of changing gender role attitudes, I was looking at how this has impacted on the changing family, and have the changes led to greater well-being? I mean, we're seeing that people are getting married later. We're seeing that they're cohabiting more often. They're staying single longer. They're having fewer children. And I looked at people's attitudes toward these things, and also did these things lead to greater well-being or worse well-being?
One of the things as well I kind of took from what Eamon Martin was saying is that, you know, there's kind of this move to a more individualistic lifestyle and an individualistic approach. And probably there's no doubt that that is kind of more common in society nowadays. But just from your own research, Margaret, what do you think are the factors that's kind of driving that move? Of the idea of the individualism or a more individualistic lifestyle, is do you think are there any particular factors that's driving that or encouraging that?
I really don't know. I think educational opportunities are very important. I think the norms are very important. That people, I think they see more opportunities. Women have greater opportunities to in the workplace. I mean, a lot of barriers have broken down. We have equal pay. We have equal opportunities. The marriage bar is gone. Contraception is there. Women can do all sorts of things that they couldn't do before, and they have the education to do it. So I think that's allowing them to develop and express themselves.
Okay, can I just maybe bring yourself, Alison Keating, back in on that idea of the what Eamon Martin sort of described as being the move to a more individualistic lifestyle. Just what's your view on that?
I suppose specifically within the context of the church, when people have a faith, it is more a kind of a sense of being a collective sense of meaning and purpose. And I can see where they're coming from with that. In terms of mental health, we are seeing increases in distress. And some of the reasons people say that is because are we becoming more individualistic? Whereas, you know, say 50 years ago, people thought more of their community first or their family than they did. Whereas now there is more of a move to think of yourself first. In relation to that sense of you know what you're saying, that more opportunities for women, I think that's a really positive thing and something that we should nurture and not see as a negative thing to correlate with it being individualistic. But I still don't think that people don't want to have relationships. I just think we have to step back and see there's so many, you know, influencing factors as to why people make decisions that they do. And sometimes people's hands are tied. So it's a very complex area that definitely needs more thought, that people are given the opportunity to choose whether they want to have a certain amount of children rather than it being dictated by kind of financial constraints, which for a lot of people it is.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And even the idea you talked about, that sense of community, for a lot of people it mightn't exist because they're, you know, they're working in Dublin and they're living in,
absolutely,
you know, Longford or the North Midlands,
yeah,
and there's a commute, and the sense of community isn't there because their working week is so consumed,
exactly,
by commuting.
And then, you know, for any extra time that they actually have, they might, you know, then if they have a family, they're trying to put it to that. So I think we're just squeezing people more and more. And from my perspective, I'm just seeing people just, you know, trying to burn the candle on every end, trying to do the best that they can. But within the context of life, which is so busy for so many people, I think it's a real struggle.
My thanks to Dr. Margaret Fine-Davis, author of Changing Gender Roles and Attitudes to Family Formation in Ireland, also from the Department of Sociology at Trinity College Dublin, for joining us on the line there a few moments ago. And also my thanks to you, a psychologist with the Be Well Clinic, Alison Keating, for joining us in studio. Just a few messages in from listeners on this. The church are creating a straw man argument here. It's not the people who are under pressure to resist commitment. It's that people no longer bow to pressure from the church to marry and to procreate in order to avoid sin. That's from one texter. Another listener says, a text on marriage, Irish birth and marriage rates are some of the highest in the developed world. Young people stay in education longer and therefore push back on the home formation into their mid-30s when they get married and have babies in their 30s rather than in their 20s. The Archbishop should do his homework. And that comes in from Paul in Dublin. Another texter says, sad state of affairs, lack of commitment to relationships is very predominant. Seems to be a fear of marriage among people in society. Another listener says, yes, but fertility for women decreases at 35. So women also have more to think about. It is gender specific to biology. That comes in from one listener. Another texter says, please spare a thought for a family member who cannot conceive. And that comes in from what they describe as being an avid listener. We'll take one more for the moment. Hillary in Virginia in Cavan says, Archbishop Eamon Martin is very well informed about how global gluttony is damaging the family as an institution. Global gluttony and free union has destroyed millions of marriages and families across the world. And that comes in from Hillary in County Cavan. My thanks to both of our guests and all of our listeners for getting in contact with us on that item.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.